Welcome to the Ether. Today is Sunday, December 19th, 2021. This is a space hosted by LunaFest. It's an introduction and AMA. This LunaFest thing sounds cool. I don't want to spoil it for y'all, but like, we got to get this passed. I want to go to LunaFest, baby. All right, let's take a listen.
There we go. Just a few more minutes now before we kick things off. I know you're on the road, Stu, so thanks for joining us, regardless of being out there. Ian's just joined us. Fantastic.
What up, guys? You good?
Yeah, good. Thank you. You, sir?
What is this space about?
This is about LunaFest. So we're going to be kicking off the Twitter spaces. We're going to be starting things formally in about 2 or 3 minutes' time. LunaFest is the inaugural cryptocurrency-backed music festival for lunatics and the wider crypto ecosystem.
That's it. A lot of definition, but it's okay, bro.
Thank you, sir.
It's okay.
Okay, just a few more minutes. Another good day with Luna price. Always good to see. Staying well above $70. Just wait for
Well above.
Yeah. It's return to form, despite what Bitcoin's trying to do at the moment. Luna seems to be just doing its own thing, which is great for us all. Just wait for Ian to join as a speaker. There we go. Just make sure he can hear me okay.
Pardon me, man, but all these listeners here, are they your friends? Or?
No, we've got some friends. We've got some from the wider community. Dialing in, so
okay, because they all like putting the same profile pictures, you know.
Oh, they, like, yeah. Well, we've got crypto punks, we've got mush clubs, we've got popping puffins. So yeah, it's a good variety of different NFTs. Just going to mute everybody and wait for Ian. Sorry, galactic punks. I think we do have a. It might not be an official crypto punk, but we've definitely got an EOS crypto punk on there. But yeah, we've got two or three. I noticed yours is very festive, sir. You've got the
mood.
Yeah,
getting the mood.
I take it you did that yourself, being the creative.
Yeah, actually, it was a little initiative the galactic punks did to get everyone else in the spirit. So I think there's a few of us dotted around with Santa hats on.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. No, I've not seen that. I was thinking about popping one on my my mushroom, but I've not had time to do that yet. And time's running out if we're at the 19th of December already. Just looks like we've got a bit of a technical issue with Ian joining us. So just bear with us. Apologies for the delay. And Super Terra's joined us. Fantastic. There we go.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing? Sorry, I was on the desktop computer, but for whatever reason, it wasn't allowing me to be a speaker, so I've moved on to the phone and hopefully my connection will be stable, but we shall see.
Excellent. We've just got a few more members of the LunaFest team to join. We're probably up to about, I don't know, maybe a dozen people listening at the moment, so we will wait for more people to join us, I think. I was just saying it was good to see Luna resisting or doing the complete opposite of what Bitcoin's doing at the moment and staying in the green. Another very positive weekend.
Absolutely, certainly, yeah. Everything's looking good on the Luna price. That's no doubt at all about that. But
yeah, just got a few more people joining us now. I mean, if people want to retweet, just to let people know that we're up and running, that'd be fantastic. Okay, so we've started to get more and more people joining us. Got Sarah that's joined us as well. Sarah Main, thank you very much for joining us too. So just a quick bit of housekeeping just before we get started. So this evening is just an AMA. We're going to do a bit of an introduction to LunaFest. We're going to meet some of the team, talk a little bit around LunaFest, the event itself. We're going to probably be on for about 40 to 45 minutes, try and be quite tight with the timing. Obviously, if we need to roll over with, if we get a raft of questions coming through, we will do. I believe that Finn will be recording for Terra Spaces, so we will be able to listen again. So I think just to start off, I think if I say to Ian, I'm Andre Moon, Andy, I've doxed myself this evening as part of the process. But if I just want to introduce Ian, who's the founder of LunaFest and whose vision has driven it to the point that it is at the moment. Ian, if you can just tell us a bit of a bit of background around LunaFest, what's the vision, what brought the idea about?
Crikey me. So LunaFest has been in my mind for 18 months, 2 years, probably longer than that, but not actually knowing it was going to be a cryptocurrency LunaFest festival. It's always been something that I've fancied doing. It's always been something that I've thought about doing. It's always been something that's kind of been on the roadmap in my brain of something that I want to challenge myself to achieve, really. So it was earlier this year, I was out on a long walk with a DJ pal. We spoke about LunaFest a lot, and it was during that period that I reached out to a Midas, I think, in the community and Wagami, and said, look, I've got an idea. I quite like the idea of a cryptocurrency festival. I think UST can be the currency of the festival. I think it's an opportunity that we can onboard non-natives to the community. I think it's a way that you can incentivize the community. I think it can be a celebration of what we're part of, and all manner of different things. And I got some very early feedback and kind of carried on as normal and carried on mulling it over. Do I want it? Like, well, how big is it going to be? What can we grow it into? And really sort of thought around the whole concept for months and months and months. And then it was during the Columbus 5 launch party. I think there was about 1,000 people on a Twitter Spaces call, and I was sat in the car, and I thought, do I say something? And I was like, no, I'm not going to say anything. And then I walked back into the house, and I thought, you know what, this is my time. I'm going to open my trap, and I'm going to just see what the feedback's like, and put my hand up or whatever we did then on Twitter Spaces, and went live, and basically just said what I've just said to you guys now, that look, I've got an idea. I think there's something in it. There's not a cryptocurrency festival. This thing's growing 4 times faster than the internet. There's clearly a huge appetite. I've been knocking around crypto for 5 years, and I've not found anything like this Luna community. We're on to something special. This is like incredible what we're part of. We're making history as we're going. I think there's an opportunity that we can put something together and get the community together. I think we can listen to some great bands. I think we can treat ourselves like royalty, and I think we can put together LunaFest. And if that's something that you're interested in, then hit me up, talk to me. You've got my Twitter profile, and let's see what happens. And what happened was pretty overwhelming, to be honest with you. I got a whole series of phone calls, a whole series of people reach out to me, a whole series of Zooms and Telegram messages, and you can only name it. And it's kind of all gone from there. And the last, whatever it's been, 3 months has been all about networking. I had no idea how the industry really worked. I had no idea on what the formats were going to be, and really just sort of learnt. I'll tell you about my background in a bit, but learnt, understood, reached out, spoke to, and built a team, really. And yeah, I guess here we are. LunaFest is at a point where we're sort of now talking to the community and giving you all of our vision and giving you all of our understandings and give you obviously a chance to ask as many questions as you want, because ultimately it's a community festival. So it needs to be driven not by me specifically, but driven by all of us. Yeah, is that all right, Andy? Is that enough?
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks, Ian. I think it's a great, you know, great intro to the vision, kind of what the concept of the festival is to do is to onboard non-natives to crypto. It's about celebration of the lunar ecosystem and the wider cryptocurrency ecosystems as well. And I think it's probably a good timing. You spoke a little bit about the team. Probably we should introduce some members of the team. We've got a real mixture of technical backgrounds, experience, everything from finance and investment through to yourself with I'm sure you talk about in a second, experience around kind of hospitality with a global leading brand. And then we've got advisory roles as well, where we've reached out to people such as members of the T5 Alpha team. So Ian, I don't know if you want to just, first of all, just tell me a little bit about your background, probably before you came into crypto, and then maybe how you got into crypto, and then probably just go around some of the rest of the members of the team, if that's okay.
Yeah, perfect. So, crikey me, I'm 42 years old. Nearly 20 years ago, I had an idea of travelling the world and watching England play cricket. So I set up a cricket travel business to do exactly that, and grew that idea into a £10 million turnover sports travel business, which succeeded not just within cricket. We took people to Lions tours. We took people to Rugby World Cups. We took people to Soccer World Cups. We took people to boxing fights. We had the agreements with the athletics. So we went to World Championships. And I've literally carried tens of thousands of people around the world watching large scale sporting events and booking flights, logistics, travel, dinners, you name it, every single detail that you can ever imagine. Out of nowhere, we'd had our most successful year to date, 2019. I was in South Africa for 6-7 weeks, returned home early 2020, and COVID comes along out of absolutely nowhere. And it's allowed me to basically go full-time crypto. We haven't done any trade at all since COVID. As you'll know, the Ashes is taking place in Australia right now. There's no British supporters there. Cricket Australia don't have any agreement. I've not had any opportunity to do any business at all since COVID. But it has taken me down the rabbit hole even more so than where I was. I've been around in the ecosystems for about 4 years. I've been in Luna for over a year. It's the one thing that's captured my imagination more than anything else. It's the one thing I believe in more than anything else. It's been a pleasure to be part of the community. It's been a pleasure to continue learning. It's been a pleasure to understand what's actually going on here. And I think the thing that resonates with me more than anything, it's part of a revolution. I think we're changing the world. This is my way. I'm not technical enough to write code, but it's my way to say, look, I'm practical enough and I've got enough, experience to say, look, I believe that I can pull this off. I believe that we can put something really special together, and maybe we do start small and we can talk about LunaFest directly a bit more. But I also think we can grow this into a 100,000 people festival. I'm certainly a big thinker. I certainly don't take second best. I certainly don't mess around too much and reach for the stars and let's see how high we can get. But yeah, I fancy this. I like the challenge. We've put an amazing rock star team of people together, and we are where we are right now. So that's enough from me. So I'll let you introduce yourself, Andy.
Thank you. Yeah. Andy, Andre Moon on Twitter. Again, like I said before, just dox myself as part of the process. I'm a sales and marketing professional for over 20 years. I've been involved in NFTs for probably about the last 6 months. I've been involved in community engagement across different platforms through marketing for, again, like I say, the last 15 to 20 years. I've known Ian for probably a similar sort of time, and Ian actually introduced me to crypto back in probably 2019. I didn't listen to him, stupidly. However, during the May crash, we managed to speak again, and I went down the rabbit hole and ended up picking up Luna as part of a bag, and then just invested more and more heavily. That's kind of my involvement. I'm here to kind of help Ian from the sales and strategy side of things and the marketing side of things. As part of the team, we have some real experts in their field. I think Stu's on the road, but Stu, if you are able to introduce yourself and maybe talk a little bit about what you do, or if you're happy for me to kind of spitball, I'm happy to do that too.
Sure, let me know. You can still hear me. I might have a bit of background noise, but
no, I've got you, sir. You right. Go for it.
Perfect. Well, I got into this hearing about Ian's, as he said, his coming clean about his ideas on Twitter Spaces, and so I reached out to him tentatively saying, look, I really like the idea and how can I get involved? But I'm coming at this from a completely different background, being a filmmaker for the last sort of 15 years, specializing mostly in documentary, but also more recently in sort of short form commercial content and social content, both as director of photography, director and editor. So I wear quite a few hats that I've kind of garnered over the years. But I think that's sort of putting me in a really nice, unique position as a visual creative, in addition to the team, to be able to effectively sort of partake in both creative strategy that we might need for marketing, and also taking those ideas from concept to delivery with video, basically. So turning this into something that can be an exciting story for people to follow. And I mean, one of the reasons I was really interested was I kind of see LunaFest as the embodiment of the kind of gusto that community definitely has, to kind of, everyone wants to jump in and be part of this together. But it's actually a really nice focal point for what could be a wider story on DeFi, you know, with LunaFest being the culmination of lots of emotions and people's kind of willingness for Luna to do really well. But it's a really lovely place for a deeper documentary story to come to life. So my intent really is to kind of to get my teeth and nails into this, and obviously market it and make sure people understand that this is a really exciting thing to be a part of. But hopefully it can be a place for us to, you know, start screaming about this to a wider audience. So yeah, I'm trying to bring my skills to this, being a Luna fan. It's definitely the first crypto that's really got my attention, to the point where it's basically all my spare time is either with my family or diving into Luna. So yeah, I'm definitely coming at this from very much a fan's point of view.
Yeah, it does that, unfortunately. No, thanks, Stu. I mean, Stu's got a fantastic website. I'm sure that we'll put some links up to some of his work. Worked on some amazing documentaries, music videos, projects, etc. So we'll put a link to Stu's work so you can see exactly the type of work he's been involved with. I do believe we've got Sarah Main on the call. I'm just trying to see if she wants to talk or not. Just bear with me. I'll let Sarah introduce herself if she can jump on. There we go. Hi, Sarah. If you want to just introduce yourself, that'd be brilliant. Can't hear you right now. Don't know if you're muted.
There we go. Sorry.
There we go. Hi, hello. Sarah. No worries.
How is hello. Everybody this evening?
Feeling great. Good? Yourself?
I'm great. Thank you. Okay. So I have been in the music industry for the last 27 years. I'm a DJ producer and have also put on like numerous events over the years. I started off in Australia and then relocated to Ibiza in 2001. And when I was in Ibiza, I was the resident DJ of one of the clubs there called Pasha. So working for Pasha for 13 years, gave me a lot of contacts within the industry and a lot of amazing experiences. I'm now in Barcelona again, like Ian, this last few years, obviously with all the events and DJ gigs being cancelled, it's really given me a time to dive into other things. So I've really gone back into my art and have got into NFTs, and also I found Luna in January, and also the same thing with the community, thought it was amazing. I'm sort of like the leader of the lunatic group in Ibiza. So one of my friends joined us all together, and yeah, I'm just going to be helping and using my industry contacts to help out with the DJs and the bookings and the music side of things.
Thanks, Sarah. Looking forward to it. And congratulations on your sellout NFT first launch collection. That was brilliant.
Thank you very much.
And there's a couple of people that are lurking in the background. I'm not sure whether they're going to join actually and talk, but we've got a guy called Roger, who's our kind of technical lead. He's an extremely experienced member of the team, 25 plus years career as an internet consultant. He's a web app agency CEO. He's also part of a local Bitcoin meetup group. He's a proper OG, and he's an inventor of decentralized keywords on layer one blockchain. In addition, we've got Harrison Bloor. He's commercial and growth He's supporting LunaFest in partnering with some of the biggest and most recognized brands. He's been talking with globally recognized brands about LunaFest. They're all showing keen interest. And we've also got two members of our guys from across the pond. We've got Ryan and Trevor on the phone. I don't know if you guys want to kind of hit, you know, just speak out. I know we've obviously had a lot of conversations between us, and I know you guys are really heavily involved with kind of promoting the T5 Alpha thing and your team over there, and going kind of a bit more global with that, and how we've discussed about working kind of alongside each other. If you guys want to, Ryan, you know, if you want to go first.
Sure. Greetings, everyone. Ryan Olva here, event coordinator from T5 Alpha and a longtime do-it-yourself events producer. My background, I go back to the mid-90s. I was in an underground hip-hop band in Philadelphia. We always did everything. We did decentralized events before decentralized events were a thing. Everything was do-it-yourself, punk rock style back in those days. We took over warehouses. We took over locations. And that's basically been my style ever since. I've always been in music and television production. I did a national music television show out of New York for several years after my run in the hip hop in the 90s. Got into doing music events. I was a part of the original Catskill Chill festival crew out of New York, one of the best mid-sized festivals in the United States. I eventually put on my own festival called Liberation Music and Arts Festival in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. And again, it was basically doing festivals has been a big part of my background. We started talking early on with LunaFest. I reached out to them as soon as I saw that someone was doing a Luna-based music festival. I was like, oh shit, what is this? Yeah. And right from the beginning, we all really synced up perfectly on a lot of things. We started planning a lot of things that happened in parallel right away. And a big thing that I want to introduce to everyone here is that some of our big, big macro vision here for the future is to create something like a decentralized events alliance, where we, through networking, through local events that we put on over time, create a network of people and through all aspects of production, from the locations, security, ticketing, staging, lighting, artists themselves, basically the whole network of people to put on events around the world in a decentralized manner that who agree to accept UST as payments. So that's kind of some very long-term things that we want to see happen, that we need everyone's help to make happen. That we need to expand our whole concept of what events are, especially now more than ever, where we see centralized control around events, around traveling to events, getting into events, biosecurity state aspects of getting into festivals, all these type of things. So I believe everything LunaFest is doing, T5 Alpha is doing, and all of us here that are listening and participating are doing is the most essential thing for this world right now. So I'm glad all of you are here and listening, and thanks for having us, guys, and for being a part of your plans.
Thank you, Ryan, appreciate it. Thanks very much. Yeah, long-term vision for this is it's pretty big. And of course we've got Trevor on the call. Trevor, if you want to, I don't know if you want to jump in but and introduce yourself, but you know, Trevor's part of TIX Protocol, which is somebody that we're very much looking forward to partnering with on the ticketing side of things. I don't know if you want to introduce yourself, Trev.
Yeah, sure. I can definitely jump in. And before I do anything, I think people should know what Pasha is. It's a very prestigious place to, you know, even play at. So, I mean, that's all I'll say in case anybody didn't know what Pasha was. But yeah, you know, from an event perspective, I'm a longtime event goer, lots of music festivals. I've done like all the ultras and some of the EDCs back when it was like back in LA. And so I know what it's like from an event goer perspective. But now I know the other side. building the event ticketing protocol TIX, the goal is to bring down the barrier to entry while at the same time enabling venues and promoters to put on large scale events that do cost a lot of money without kind of sacrificing quality and passing on the cost to the event goers, basically eliminating the middleman and making it as frictionless as possible. And I also do I got my start actually in the ecosystem doing some ticketing and logistics on the ground for the first CeFi in New York. And that's where I met like all these great builders that eventually became my team. It's a long story. One day we'll get into it. but yeah, that's my background here. And we're looking forward to helping LunaFest as much as possible to make it, you know, a stellar event for everybody.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us too, guys. Just to pass back over to Ian now, just obviously we're here to answer any questions, but before we do that, we just want to set the scene for what LunaFest is going to look like, kind of what aspects we're looking to bring in terms of speakers, musicians, artists. So yeah, Ian, if you're free, just to give us a bit of a flavor for where it's going to be, when it's going to be, what it's going to look like.
Well, yeah, good questions. I guess initially we was sort of straight out of the traps. We were thinking, let's do it next year. Realized, I guess, over the last few months that we're probably biting off more than we can chew to deliver a high-end festival to the level that we wanted it to do with 6 months' notice and obviously partially through the pandemic. So we've decided to push things back. We've met with 3 or 4 site builders, and we have lined up an award-winning site builder who is keen to work with us. So, I mean, these guys are running 100,000 people festivals in the UK. We've met with 3 or 4 different locations. We've agreed in principle, and we have dates locked in for Stapleford Park Hotel, which is it was previously owned by the Prince of Brunei. It sold very recently to an Australian guy who we had a 4-hour meeting with. He paid, I believe, $380 million for this venue. It's elegant. It's royal.
It's insanely sick, I'll tell you guys.
Yeah. So we've got exclusivity of this whole site for 4 days. We are thinking initially, and we're just going to play the game, but we're thinking 2,000 to 3,000 people. We're thinking of a general entry ticket, which is very reasonable, paid in UST. We're also going to give people the opportunity of staying in-house, where you can have a VIP experience and you'll be sharing the hotel with the artists and with the high-end speakers. There will also be glamping pods, so for people traveling internationally that just want to turn up and have a bed and a sleeping bag and such things available to them, then that will be available. We're thinking, we've done our market research, we've spoken to the community, we've had feedback on different types of genres, music, keynote speakers. We don't want to mess around, we want to go for the best, and we want to go for the highest end guests that we can get our hands on. So yeah, Stapleford Hall 2023, we like the idea of a full moon, and we've made a reservation early in July, which fits with a full moon. And we've built a presentation. We've presented it to everybody in the community. Like I said, initially, we probably had 30, 40 calls now, Zoom calls, Telegram calls, different sort of NFT projects, how we're going to whitelist tickets, how it's going to look. So we've kind of done all of the background. We've done all of the work. We've reached out. We like the idea of a main stage, which will be the Luna stage. We like the idea of a lunatic stage. So the community, if you're a DJ or you've got a band or you kind of want to be part of that, then you can be part of that and you can play and perform, and we'll book you a slot and you can get on the stage as part of the community. So a sort of a decentralized stage, or however we want to look at it. We are certainly with Sarah and I have and Ryan, and we have a background with, I know quite a lot of artists. I know quite a lot of people in bands. I'm reasonably well connected within the electronic music scene. So I've got contacts. I had a record label. I've promoted club nights. So we've kind of got a good backbone, and there's clearly an appetite for people within the community to perform and get involved. And moving forward, a main stage, a lunatic stage, something that we probably think is a blockchain zone, so NFT artists can have an open mic, people can talk about ideas, people can jump on stage and maybe pitch their own ideas or protocols that they might like to build out in the future. I also like the idea year 2, year 3, that we have a bridge day, or we have the Ethereum fields, or we have the Solana tent. It's not a one chain multiverse as we move forward. There's going to be lots of chains. Let's engage and let's work with everybody and let's bring people in. I'd like to think the artists and the music and the bands are good enough that people that are not crypto related will come along because that band is playing or those DJs are playing. So it brings people into the festival site, and then they're going to be asking the question, why is my beer cheaper if I pay with UST or other than paying with fiat? So I think it brings people in. I think it works. I think there's clearly the technology. If it's not quite available, it's going to be available certainly by 2023. I've spoken to the guys who did Cosmoverse today. I like the idea of maybe them having a space so they can bring in everybody from the Cosmos ecosystem and different people from different protocols. Let's just open our brains up. And you know what I mean, although we're all very much lunatics, but there is a much wider play here. And I think over time, this is a cryptocurrency festival. The currency of the festival is UST, but let's not restrict it to just being about Luna. There's a much bigger play. And I think that would be my vision to make it work the best it possibly can.
Boom! I know we can't hear you guys, but you are clapping out there right now. Right? I mean, there are standing ovation. There should be right now for what was just laid down there. You guys heard that? That is the blueprint for how things are going to run. Period. Boom.
Right. I'll let Andy talk and say something.
No, that's good. That's good. We've put a lot of thought, a lot of effort into this. You know, we've listened to the community. And we're at a stage now where we've looking to go to the community and put a governance vote together. But before we do that, we've got a post on Agora. It's been up for about 24 hours. And what we're looking to do is get as much feedback from the community around the proposal as possible. In fact, the reason this Twitter Spaces came around was because somebody actually commented on there that we think we should do an AMA or we should do a Twitter Spaces. So here we are. If you want to get involved and you want to look at the proposal in detail, we've been completely transparent. There's full information around the team. There's full information around the kind of the concept of what LunaFest will look like. There's also forecasts in terms of income generation and costs related to the event itself. So we feel like we've laid everything out on the table. We want the community to get involved. We want the community to support us. We're looking for you to, again, like I say, give us feedback. And then when we go to the governance vote, is to hopefully support us there. But I guess, you know, we've spoken a lot and we did say this was an AMA. So we're kind of going to open it up now for people to ask questions. We've got a number of people that have already got their hand raised. So I'm just going to add, I think it's Terashmoni.
My bad, guy.
There we go, sir. How are you?
How are you guys doing? Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Yeah, good, thank you. Do you have a question for the team or any comments for us?
A few. I myself promote festivals and parties and such along the years, over probably the last 20 years or so, over here in America, in New York. I'm not sure where everyone here is from, but from when LunaFest followed me, I think it was a couple months ago, and I seen him speaking on throwing a possible LunaFest. It just blew my mind from the first time I saw it. Just the community here, you know, all of us lunatics, more real life utility, just everyone meeting up and just having a huge blast. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for this. That's really what I wanted to say.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your support. Ian, did you want to say something there? I think you were about to...
I'm a visionary. I see the end goal, and I need people to help me to achieve those goals. And I'd put it out there, and I've genuinely been overwhelmed with the quality of the people that have sort of wanted to get involved, that have supported me, from helping, you know, Chris helping writing the deck and the proposal, and the integrity of the documentation that we've put together, and how we've presented ourselves, even this call now, Andy. You know what I mean? It's kind of a highly professional organization, and thank you for your kind words, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, in fact, I forgot to mention Chris. I was scrolling down on the page. We've got Chris, that's our business and finance expert, career in banking, fundraising, consultant for fintech businesses. Apologies, Chris, I didn't scroll down far enough on my notes to mention you. Sorry for that, pal. We've also got somebody else requesting to speak. We've got, is it DeFi Zealot? I'm just going to add you as a speaker. Over to you, DeFi Zealot. Omi, DeFi Zealot, if you can hear me, you're now a speaker.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm really excited to hear this. I've been also, just like Tara Shimoni, I've been involved in the underground music festival scene over here in Western Canada for the last 20 years or so, and have been involved as a producer and a DJ and throwing events as well. So I'm really excited to hear two of my favorite hobbies or, you know, life passions, crypto and music coming together like this. Now I have a couple of things that came to mind right away. One of them is about how, and this is, you know, just in the future, like there is a lot of opportunity for, I guess, artists or producers that are out there now using SoundCloud and other services where, you know, there's a lot of fees in between the listeners and the artists, right? And I think there is a couple of blockchain projects that are thinking about solving this, but I'd love to start talking to the community about how we can kind of decentralize that that part of, yes, you know, artists selling music or DJs.
Can I go first, Trevor? Do you mind?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I great to hear you, bro. I think a lot of us here are going to be in that, you know, producer, have done events, have thing. We're going to be the first people who care about this stuff. We're the pioneers who are here. I'm great to hear your voice and your background. Yes, what I've been, I'm also working on some albums right now. I'm directing an album with a friend of mine for one of my old school bands. And he knows about crypto, but is not like using it every day, right? So, but what I've been, and he's going the same old routes of Spotify and all the web 2.0 routes of promotion, right? So what we have to do is basically start onboarding as many artists as possible into web 3. And web 3 is ownership of your content, right? And once we end our payment system with UST is how we fully onboard everybody. And then we also had a lot of conversations recently. We just did the DecentralCon after party TFI Alpha did in Miami. And while we were down there, we networked with tons of people. Of course, one of the biggest benefits to us having real life events, whether it's TFI Alpha, Luna Fest, or any events that any of you create in this group here today, is that when we meet in person, it is a major catalyst for growth, exponential growth in all directions once we meet in person, right? We can do a lot online with open source. We can do a lot online working remotely, but there is something magical that happens when we meet in person and network face to face. That interface is absolutely crucial and creates next level growth. So while we were in Miami, we actually talked with a lot of reggae artists and a NFT project called Crypto Rastas. And while we were there, what we found out was, you know, how many artists, one, don't know about crypto, specifically how many artists in world music forms don't even have banks or bank accounts. More than that, we were talking to managers and promoters who also deal with Grammy level artists, right? So they were on one level super interested in raw logistics of what things like Tix can provide as far as NFT ticketing and your long-term downstream value capture of tickets, what you can do creatively with tickets, what you can do to make them collectibles and VIP pass type items, all these things that Tix is unveiling, right? And then also business logistics on Terra, right? Getting 20% on your savings, right? These are things that instantly perk up the ears of people who do tour managing, right? Or you have a bunch of expenses that you're going to have for a whole tour and you have them, or payroll sitting somewhere, right? So instead of that payroll sitting, you have your payroll and expenses earning interest, right? These things instantly appealed to all these people, right? So we're already looking to onboard a whole world of reggae artists and musicians, EDM DJs we talk to, Trevor and Tix doing tons of work on our venues and getting exclusive deals with venues and festivals, all these things, right? So that's where things are, right? And the music industry and banking are very similar, that both have absolutely parasited their users to the nth degree. They have taken everything from them. Musicians, artists, everything taken from you. As a bank user, everything taken from you, right? So we're at the point now where these two industries, and when specifically what we're doing, when we're bringing the musicians and the people who got fucked by the banks all together into one thing, this is really super unstoppable now, right? So
yeah, I think you know, speaking with a number of artists, I mean, Ian and I have had a number of conversations, meetings over the past few weeks, and it's amazing the number of artists that are interested in getting involved. You know, we've got such talented people already involved in the ecosystem, like Sarah, who's connected to a number of other artists and DJs across the world that are, you know, already heavily involved in the ecosystem. So the ability to be able to pay and transact with not only artists, but suppliers, food and beverage, merchandise. You know, we've already started chatting with Luna Loot about the opportunity to have a merch stand there.
Shout out Luna Loot.
So, you know, we can, there's so much opportunity to do this within the ecosystem. Clearly there's going to be a need to off ramp to a bit of traditional finance. You know, paying the venue is going to be difficult in UST or crypto. You know, there might be some opportunities in the future, but right now we're going to have to off ramp some to the traditional finance system. But engaging with as many people as possible, and using it as that test bed. I think Ian talks a little bit about this as well quite often with, you know, using it as an incubator ecosystem, as a test bed for UST.
And let's get, Trevor, talk on that value capture of Tix and how Tix really helps the artist and venue.
Sorry, can I just ask a quick question before you move on to that? Related is just how do we get involved? Like, is there a Discord or DM you guys directly, or
there's a Telegram group that we opened up yesterday. Again, we wanted to give people the opportunity to ask as many of the team as possible any questions. What I'll do is I'll tweet a link to the Telegram page shortly after this. As soon as we finish this, I'll post that out there. So jump in, you know, it's going to be completely open. Most of the team are in there, so you can ask as many questions as you like. So I'll pop that out there as soon as we finish the Twitter spaces. Trevor, you were, no problem at all. Thanks for the questions. Trevor, you were going to jump on something with Tix?
Yeah, I mean, I can get into that. And also, whoever asked that question about bringing artist content onto Web3 actually linked something. I think I linked it to the right person. It's called Rebel Wave. They actually reached out. They've been reaching out to my team, but we've been real busy building stuff. But they do something that you might be interested in. I'd go take a look. We may end up partnering them. We'll see. We haven't taken any meetings. But in terms of like what Tix does, is Tix's vision is, I mean, I spoke a little bit about it before, but essentially you're going to be able to yield down tickets and get discounted or free tickets, possibly depending on, you know, how much money you lock up. Essentially, we're using Anchor to start, and we're using a bunch of other yield strategies that'll basically allow you to farm your ticket. while also, you know, the promoter will also know that they're guaranteed at least the value of the ticket. So as an example, if an event is a year away from now, and it costs $100, and today you put in $100, you lock it up, it goes into Anchor. Let's say that's the yield strategy. By the end of 365 days, at 20, we'll round it up, 20% yield. I know it fluctuates a little bit. You've earned 20%, $20 in yield. So now that ticket is $80, you get back $20 and you get back the ticket, right? And you may ask yourself, why don't I just put the money into Anchor? Because then I could spend the money on anything. And you could absolutely do that. But for a really popular event, tickets will sell out. essentially what you're doing is you're putting down money to reserve your ticket, letting the promoter know for sure that they're going to get that money, right? Because that's what it's about. And free ticket, you put in $500, that's $100 in yield, roughly, right? So you could do that, you could buy it outright. But the thing is, when you buy anything outright, you didn't lose what you just spent. You lost what you spent plus the yield you could have gained on that over X amount of time, right? So that covers it from kind of the user's perspective. But you also have the promoters and the vendors, right? So we have our vault set up wherein we can guarantee, like, once the, you know, all the features are built in, our roadmap is pretty long. If you haven't looked at it, you know, go take a look at the paper. We'll be able to guarantee more than 100% of ticket revenue to the promoter, which is staggering. So our goal is to eliminate all fees on the front end as little as possible. So none of that 20% fee that you get, that service charge, gone. There might be a little bit initially, but the goal is to remove that completely. We'll see what we can do. And then to offer more money to the promoters without them getting like taxed or whatever on the back end. So we also have a bunch of other cool features. We have partnerships. I won't name who they are, but I know bringing money in and sending money out is essentially what you do as you know, an event organizer. You're constantly receiving money, paying off things, receiving money, paying off things. So that's been a big pain point for us, but we've solved it partnering with, again, I won't really name them right now, but you can borrow against your future yield, and we could leverage like our vault or their, you know, the wallet principle, and essentially front money at little to no impact. Yeah. Or I guess it is zero impact with our vault as leverage. So we've solved it, really. And then outside of that, I mean, there's tons of stuff. I'm sorry for going on, but
I'd like to follow up on that for more of like an artist and promoter's perspective. Like, he's giving you a lot of great financials on as a user perspective and venue as using ticks, but as an artist, promoter perspective, why I'm super excited what's coming with ticks is, so with tickets, right, combining tickets and NFTs, we've already seen great success in NFT ticketing with TFI Alpha. We are all of our tickets for TFI Alpha have been NFTs. There's great value capture there because our sponsors are able to do airdrops through our NFT ticketing system, right? So we saw Lavana, for example, on Thanksgiving, drop a Meteor to everyone who attended TFI New York, right? We didn't know that was happening, but it was awesome, as exactly what we had hoped that things was developing to. So now, as an artist or promoter, right, you want to think about the value of your tickets is really about how much work and creativity you put into them. If you make a series, say you're doing a tour or a series of events, right? Say you put a bunch of thought into a creative storyline or series of artwork that works as a series for that tour or those events or everything that's related to that album or that project, right? So now you have a value drive post-event for the NFT collectability of your tickets, right? Beyond that, if you add a VIP aspect to your NFT ticket, that if you hold so many of my tickets, you get this or that benefits in the future, right? Whether it's discounted admission or free drinks or free merchandise or discounted merchandise, anything you want to do can be based on different levels of holding your tickets from the past. So now let's say you're a mid-range to big artist selling thousands of tickets, or you're doing a festival that sells thousands of tickets and you're doing it every year you do it. Well, now you have value drive for thousands of tickets for multiple years in the future from an event you did this year, right? So, and with NFT ticketing, your royalties are programmed, right? So as soon as your ticket hits, if anyone secondary sells your ticket, you're getting your percentage.
Well, let me jump in there. Actually, this is an important thing to highlight. And sorry, I feel like we've kind of commandeered this space a little bit. But you know, what Ola mentioned about the royalties is key, because right now, as you know, NFTs currently stand, the royalties are manually set by the marketplaces. If you've ever listed one, I mean, as an artist in a collection, you have to manually set the splitters on the back end. Our next generation NFTs aren't out yet, but they will be. via one of our key partnerships. And all of that will be programmed into the NFT. So no matter where it goes, whatever marketplace, there's no manual config or anything for collections. It'll follow it around everywhere it goes, making sure the money goes back. You can have a split back to a marketing wallet. You could have a split back to a vendor. You could have a split to the artist. You can have a split to the platform. You can even have a split to charity. Now, I think the max number of splits, I was talking to them, it's a staggering amount. It's like 10,000 or more splits you can do, or 100,000 or some stupid number. But that's only the.
So imagine if your DAO runs an event and you split it to all the members and you have thousands of members, you could do that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you could do that. I think one of your initial ideas.
I just want to make sure the listeners are aware of like what's really coming with the potential of decentralized events, that this is not just hyperbole. This is not just talk. This is a new way for massive amounts of people to own and run events that we have never seen before. And LunaFest and TFI Alpha and all of you here are going to be the pioneers of making this happen. And TIX is the crucial, one of the keys that unlocks the door to making all this happen. So while we're talking about all this, because it's all related, it's all one thing.
No, it's great. It's been, there's so much opportunity. I mean, we've spoken a number of times at length and, you know, we've spoken about the massive opportunities that are available with coming together in a like you say, a bit of a group, work together, an alliance to work together as an events group under in the community, and what TIX can do for us is just immense. You know, you guys are absolutely killing it, and looking forward to working with you guys in the future. I guess I've run over a little bit on time. I'm just conscious of that. Have we got any more questions? Ian, I don't know if you want to talk about kind of next steps and where we're going in the coming few days.
And if there's not any questions, I know you're in control of that as the host. But
also, one sec. I got to drop off in about 8 minutes. So just a heads up, if I disappear, that's why. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks everyone for participation.
We've got one question coming in, if that's okay. Here we go. Super Terra, just connecting you now, sir. Can you hear me? Super Terra, you've added as a speaker.
Hello. I was going to say, fascinating hearing all the plans ahead. I think it's all brilliant, and I've got lots of follow-up questions that I won't hog the time with. It sounds like we're already, very much towards the end of this. But I think there's also another angle here, given that obviously I'm excited, I'm in the UK, I'm looking forward, I will be there. How about thinking about virtual participation? Because I think that's one of the aspects that we've seen work really well in terms of, Terabytes kind of giving us all a window on the excellent event in New York. And I think creating longevity, I'm very excited about that. Ticketing post value and so on, that's something we can perhaps explore in separate conversations. I just wanted to say, great idea, great concept. Love to support it, but just wanted to know. Think about the virtual side, and just wondered what your thoughts were at this stage.
Great points, great questions, Ian. I'm sure that you're going to pick up on the kind of the live side of things, but I've already been talking to the guys at Terabytes, so we've already been having some conversations with those guys. They've tentatively said they're in, as long as they can get in the country, as long as COVID isn't an issue at that point. But they've said they're in. And Ian, if you want to talk a bit about the live stream.
I think it's Stu's bag really with the broadcasting and how that would look. But yes, absolutely. The metaverse, how that plays out, what that looks like, how people in 18 months from now can put on their virtual reality glasses the stage, they can listen to the talks and the keynote speakers, and they can be there virtually. That's very much in our plans. How that actually looks is a little bit beyond my paycheck, but
I can commit. TFI Alpha is supporting this event. We are advisors of this event. We are fully behind it. And one of the main plans I can tell you all about of TFI Alpha is absolutely having metaverse space and metaverse parties. If we have our metaverse area up and running, there will absolutely be parallel metaverse TFI Alpha events along with this. And because Terabytes is
Pantera is also a member of the T-Fi Alpha team. I can also confirm that, yes, we will definitely have tons of terabytes live streaming and interaction with this event. We have, and we're also, like I said, we're looking for a lot of community involvement in general. Like, I think it would be really cool if we were able to kind of orchestrate, like if you guys ever seen the Beastie Boys concert documentary, Awesome, I shot that. That was like made by everybody there. Like they gave out cameras to everybody there and they all filmed it. And that gave the most incredible perspective of everything. If we're somehow able to create like a massive community live streaming, live switching video experience, I think that would be really incredible and unique. We have a lot of time to develop that. So I'm just planting that thought seed.
Well, I actually have something that might work for that. So a friend of, we've been talking to a member of Pink Floyd to work with them. We've been taking meetings and they connected us with somebody that has something that kind of fills that gap, but it's still, you know, pre-production. So it's not running yet, but something that can fill that void. I'll send it over to you at some point.
Thank you, sir.
And Super Terra, just thank you for supporting the event. I know you've put out a couple of articles on us as well, so I really appreciate that. Did you have another question at all?
No, absolutely. No, I'm a huge supporter. I'm keen to do a follow-up article after this, and perhaps we could get on a bit of a voice chat and build out something. Because I think, for me, this epitomizes the fantastic community we have in Terra and in broader crypto. I guess it's not a question, it's just more a thought. We've all been immersed in this. You know, I went down the rabbit hole less than a year ago, really. I mean, it's coming up to the anniversary for me now. Getting new people engaged and onboarded is absolutely, I understand, part of the ethos of LunaFest. And I'm just thinking, how do we, ahead of that activity, get people kind of, not hooked, but engaged with and then enthused by, if you like, the kind of non-crypto elements that then lead to the huge opportunity that we know is out there for this activity.
Just to interject on that point, I think I think if the artists are first class and they have an appeal to Mr. Normie on the street and he sees Stapleford Park on these dates, I'm not going to mention bands or DJs, but let's say a band that's one of his favourite bands and there's also a lineup that appeals to that individual, and the ticket is a reasonable price and he gets a 3-day festival, I think that person will go to the festival, but that person will pay in fiat potentially. Mm-hmm. And that person will pay 20-30% more than if he had paid with UST. So the first thing that I would be doing is going, how can I get UST? What's UST?
I absolutely love that.
Be the first thing.
Honestly, I mean, as good as that is, we may never even get to that point. And here's why. There's a bunch of solutions being worked on right now where ideally you don't know you're interacting with crypto, where you just kind of attach your bank card, your debit card or your credit card, and you interact with an app and it gets converted to crypto on the back end. I think slippage is the problem right now, but those are solutions that are, I mean, we're working on some cool stuff. I'm working on some stuff on the side, and I know other projects are, where we may have that up and running, you know, collectively as an ecosystem, I would hope by like mid-year next year. So
That frictionless solution of just use your Google account or whatever to sign in and you, or your Apple Pay, and you instantly pay. That's one thing. But I think that how do you onboard, right? So at LunaFest, when you get that, you can pay easily, but you get discount if you actually pay with UST. Then people are going to be like, whoa, okay, what? They will simply say, what is UST?
Exactly. You know? And if we're on, let's, for argument's sake, say a pint of beer is £6 if you're paying with pound sterling, or it's an equivalent of £4.20 if you're paying with UST, then quite quickly people are going to...
£4.20.
Well, whatever it would be, but like they're going to show up in the pencil for subsequent years' events, and they're going to go home and they're going to start doing some homework. The other thing that just popped into my mind there is that, I mean, the whole event will give, and I'll use Sarah as the example, but like any performing artist will have a platform. not just to perform at LunaFest, but will also be able to airdrop their work and their NFTs and their mementos and all of their cool stuff.
Yes.
Body at the festival. And that's a, I mean, that's a real plus for artists moving forward. And I think over time, I mean, 5 years down the line, if you was at the first LunaFest and you continue to hold that NFT ticket, then that will be like an exclusive club, or that will be part of it, will go down in history that I was there, and that ticket will have for artists when, you know what I mean, you might be able to get special discounts for when those artists are playing at there's a whole realm of possibilities. And yeah, I mean,
we saw a great response from DJs for Decentralcon Miami event when we told them they had the ability to airdrop promotions to everyone who attended. We had a DJ who agreed to come instantly play for free because of that. Because they had an NFT project that they want to release. And they're like, oh, wow, like, this is perfect. I will come play for free because of that. That's what the demand is for that type of value reach to your audience as an artist. Now, imagine if you back end that with, so you can download anything to your audience or attendees post-event. That can be a message, that can be a video of the event, that could be highlights, that could be merchandise that they download and get physical merchandise redemption codes for. It can be anything. So your value now is literally 10,000 times more potential than you had in any traditional venue that ever existed. I don't care what points you got on your merch. I don't care what points you got in your ticket sales. There is nothing that's going to beat that if you as an artist take it to the creative heights that it can be taken to. It's still going to depend on you as an artist to create something that is art worthy, that has, you know, value that people like, and you're downloading valuable memories into it. It's not just going to be like, oh, I just downloaded a video, so everyone's going to want it. No, it had to have been an amazing event that when people say, oh yeah, that when that happened, and then all of a sudden, boom, you drop that video into their wallet, like, oh, and everyone has it. You know, that's amazing stuff, right? That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Andy, I don't know if there's any more questions in there that I'm happy to.
There's no more questions. I mean, obviously the plan is over the coming few days is to get some more feedback on the Agora post. So please, I'll put a post up on Twitter after this. And then we'll go to a governance vote. And obviously we're going to need everyone's support. Ian, I don't know if you want to kind of wrap anything up that you want to add to that.
I think that should really be emphasized the most here. I think if you guys like any of these ideas you're hearing, if you want to see LunaFest happen, the only way it's going to happen is if the validators and people vote for it to happen.
Correct.
That's the only way. So there has to be motivation. You have to tell your friends, tell your fellow lunatics. If those of you who heard this and if you like these ideas and you want to see LunaFest happen, you want to see other events like this happen, this event is going live to a real vote of the community. Talk to your validators, let them know what you think. Let them know to vote yes on this. You've heard the team, you've heard their qualifications, you've heard the vision, you can see the location, look at the pictures of the location, see everything that they have planned. This is something TFI Alpha is 100% behind, and we really want to see this happen ourselves. So I am lobbying for it to happen. I will be lobbying all my validator friends to vote positive for this. Voting is the main thing. Yeah, so we have to make it happen. We have to vote to make it happen. That's my emphasis. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks. Ryan, thank you. And that's really kind words. Look, we're legit guys. We're here to do something, and we're here to perform, and we're here to deliver. We want to do it. We've put ourselves in the firing line to make it happen. And we've done everything we believe as professionally and as articulately as we can. And we are where we are. We want to do it. And it's down to you guys over the next week or three. To put the votes in the right places. If you give us that trust, then when LunaFest, and let's make it a success.
Thank you. Cheers, guys. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks, Ian. Sarah, thank you. Thanks for everyone for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll catch you again soon.
Yeah, we'll probably do another one of these maybe in a week or two. Yeah, we're more than happy to be as transparent about everything as we move forward. But yeah, thank you to all of the hosts, the speakers, and all of you listeners as well. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, hit us up on socials. Any more questions that you didn't want to ask here, Telegram, Twitter. Yeah, come find us. We'll catch you soon.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. This was a space hosted by LunaFest. It was an introduction and an AMA talking about, well, LunaFest. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coupe with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best smiles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain. Up with the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the weight was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash a brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line.
Channel Spaces.